Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shaina Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Juna Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivasesa Sinimani Bhaskajade Satarne Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapadipalam. Shri Guru and Vaishnavam Sutta, Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stamasajivam Sadvoitam Sadvaditam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ravita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sutta. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. August 18, 2010, at the Slovenian Yatra. And we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Text 12. I know in Ljubljana you just read text 9. So this is really coincidence, because when I heard that the seminar was, the yatra was going to be on servant of the servant, I felt it most appropriate to look at how we deal with other people. And one of the purports that really explains this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport on this verse, which happens to be just three verses ahead, or two verses ahead of what we would be reading today in Ljubljana. So I hope, if any of you are thinking, why isn't she reading 4, 4, 10? So that's... Whereas if I just pick something random, you know, like 2, 3, 20, nobody would think that. So anyway, that's the explanation. So we don't have the verse up, and just read it. Dosan Paresham hi guneshu sadavo grinanti kechinna bhavadrisho dvija Gunascha palgun bahuli karishnavo mahatamasteja vavidad bhavanagam doshan false paresham of others he for guneshu in the qualities sadvaha sadhus grinanti find Kechit, some, na, not, bhavadrishaha, like you, dvija, o twice born, gunan, qualities, cha, and, palgun, small, bahuli karishnavaha, greatly magnifies, Mahatamaha, the greatest persons, Teshu, among them, Avidat, find, Bhavan, you, Agam, the fault. So this, the principle we're going to be discussing in this verse and purport is one of the most essential to advancing in spiritual life. We are often looking for what is the key, right? What's the key thing that we can do? Have I all told you the story of the boiler? Have I told that in Slovenia or not? No? I usually tell this story in... Yes, I tell this here? You've heard it. Okay. I usually tell this story in relationship to attentive chanting, but it is equally applicable to what we're going to discuss. I'll tell the story first, and then we'll read the verse and purport. So there was once a company, and if I'm talking too fast, please just go. Signal me. And if I say some word in English that you don't understand, please ask. Yes? Is that, that I want to make that deal first before I start.
I would ask if you could speak slower.
More slowly. Do you want to do peace, peace?
Yes.
Would you rather do peace, peace translation?
Yes.
He says no, he says yes. You say no. You say, well, but you speak English. You don't count. That's normal. Okay. I will try to speak more slowly. Peace, peace is easier for me than going very, very slow. I'm from New York. We talk very fast. So there was a company. What part of New York are you from? Why, you're from New Jersey. That's the problem. What part of New Jersey are you from? Where are you from?
New York metropolitan area, New Jersey.
Right, okay. You can tell me later. I also spent time in New Jersey, but I'm from Manhattan. We talk fast. Okay, I will really try, but just help me, okay? Because I'll forget. You'll have to tell me. You promise? I have your word. Okay, good. A class on how to speak fast. No, Maharaj, I will not do that. So there was this company, this factory. They had a boiler. You know, a boiler heats water to provide steam for the machinery. And it was a new boiler, but it wasn't working properly. They'd had many companies come in and try to fix it. Many months, and just, it's not working properly. Finally, one of the employees said, I know someone who's an expert boiler repairman. They call this man, he takes a little hammer, and he's going around the boiler, tapping it, for about an hour. Then he finds one place and he goes, wham! He says to the company, Chief, if it's still working after 2 weeks, you tell me, and then I will send you a bill. After 2 weeks, it's still working. Please send the bill. He sends a bill, 5,000 euros. And the chief says, please send me an itemized bill. You understand? Each item. So the man sends back itemized bill, hitting the boiler, 5 euros. Knowing where to hit the boiler, 4,995 euros. So, what is the secret? What is the secret? So, we can say it is attentive chanting, not just attentive chanting, attentive everything, attentive chanting, attentive hearing, attentive deity worship. Now we're going to look at attentive dealing with other people. And this is so important because that we often say the verse Trinadapi, the third verse of the Shikshastika. This verse is the doorway. Am I going slowly enough now? Is that okay? Is it good or just okay?
Good.
Good. This verse is the doorway between unsteady bhakti and steady bhakti. This is the door you have to walk through. It's the door of humility. And humility has many aspects, like a jewel with many sides. And one of them is how we treat others, right? We say we are all respectful to others. We don't expect anything for ourselves, and we are respectful to others. We serve others. And you'll find throughout the Shastra, there is this injunction to treat others well, to be respectful to others, to see others equally. In the 11th canto, this is one of the first requirements given for a disciple. And even Jesus said, the first thing is to love God with all your heart, your soul, your might. And the second thing is to love your neighbor. Is that also a video game? The second thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. So generally people think neighbor means people of my same nationality, my same religion, my same species. Neighbor means all living entities. Or they think neighbor means just the people that I like. So we are going to now look at this verse of Sati talking to her father, Daksha, who not only insulted Shiva, but then failed to invite them to the next yajna and didn't even receive his own daughter just because she was married to Shiva. Sometimes we see this. I've seen this even in the modern day. One devotee girl I know, she married a boy from the same caste, but a different part of the same caste. And the father would not come to the wedding. Wouldn't come to the wedding, and he wouldn't have them come to his house, I think, for maybe 2 years before he would even speak to her. So this tendency that I'll be cruel even to my own child. Okay, so here's the translation, what Sati says. Twice born Daksha, a man like you, simply find fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. Purport. King Daksha is addressed here by his daughter Sati as Dvija, twice born. Twice born refers to the higher classes of men, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. In other words, a Dvija is not an ordinary man, but one who has studied the Vedic literature from a spiritual master and can discriminate between good and bad. This is an important point, this idea of discrimination, because one of the reasons we find fault with others, Sati is saying, you're finding fault with someone who has no fault. So one of the reasons that we find fault is we want to be discriminating. We want to be intelligent. We don't want to be naive or simple, where we accept everything like a fool. So she's saying, you're supposed to be discriminating. Why then have you found fault in a faultless person? Therefore, it is supposed that he understands logic and philosophy. Sati, Daksha's daughter, put before him sound arguments. There are some highly qualified persons who accept only the good qualities of others, just as a bee is always interested in the honey in a flower and does not consider the thorns and colors. So a bee is only interested in the honey and does not consider the colors or the highly qualified persons who are uncommon accept only the good qualities of others, not considering their bad qualities, whereas the common man can judge what are good qualities and what are bad qualities. Among the uncommonly good souls, there are still gradations, and the best good soul is one who accepts an insignificant asset of a person and magnifies that good quality. Lord Shiva is also called Ashutosha, which refers to one who is satisfied very easily and who offers to any person the highest level of benediction. For example, once a devotee of Lord Shiva wanted the benediction that whenever he touched someone on the head, that person's head would at once be separated from his trunk. What a terrible benediction. Anybody said, that means you couldn't even touch the head of your wife or your children, you'd kill them. Crazy man. Lord Shiva agreed. Although the benediction asked was not very commendable because the devotee wanted to kill his enemy, Lord Shiva considered the devotee's good quality in worshipping and satisfying him and granted the benediction. Thus, Lord Shiva accepted his bad qualities as magnificently good qualities. But Sati accused her father, "You are just the opposite. Although Lord Shiva has so many good qualities and no bad qualities at all, you have accepted him as bad and found fault with him. Because of your accepting his good qualities to be bad, instead of your becoming the most exalted soul, you have become the most fallen. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities." Can somebody repeat that to me, please? What did Prabhupada just say? Yes. Let's read this again. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities. Radhana Swami likes to quote from the 10th canto in regard to Vasudev dealing with Kamsa, that one's greatness is understood by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. It's one of his favorite quotes, that that's a measure of greatness. Well, here's another measure of greatness. And certainly it is related, because the majority of the provoking situations that we find difficult to tolerate deal with the bad qualities and incompetencies of others. Isn't that correct? It's much easier to tolerate an earthquake than it is the bad dealings of another person, especially another person from whom one expects pleasant dealings. And the tendency is, when people deal with us badly, to see their faults, isn't it? And I think there's a tendency in general to see faults. So this is another way of measuring our advancement. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities. And we're going to look at some very specific ways of how to do this. But by unnecessarily considering others' good qualities to be bad, you have become the lowest of the fallen souls. Twice born Daksha, a man like you can simply find fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. So this finding fault is a symptom of
envy.
Now, it can also be a symptom of discrimination. If I want to buy something from someone, I have to decide if they're an honest person or not. If I want to make some business deal with someone, I have to decide if they're an honest person or not. If I want to marry someone, I have to decide if I can trust them or not. If I want to become the disciple of someone, I'm supposed to examine them for a year at least to decide, should I become this person's disciple? We are enjoined by the Shastra, and we'll be looking at this tomorrow in our seminar, to discriminate. And discriminating means that one has to see the faults and the good qualities. Otherwise, what does it mean to discriminate? In fact, here Sati is seeing the faults in Daksha. Isn't she? So there is a way to see faults and there's a way not to see faults. There's one way to see faults that's based on envy. And there's another way to see faults that's simply discrimination, where I'm not really seeing the faults. Would that be interesting? Because definitely we're afraid if I don't see anybody's fault, I'll lose my discrimination, isn't it? And then how will I be taken care of? How will I get what I need? If I don't see people's faults, I'll get cheated. Somebody will steal my money. Or I'll get cheated in another way. Someone will pretend to be my friend. And then they'll go to my other friends and tell them nasty things about me because I opened my heart to them. I revealed my weaknesses to them. And then they put it all over the signposts in the temple. They put it, nowadays they would put it on the internet. And we've all had this experience that we make friends with somebody. And then, you know, a few months later, there's some notice on the board at the temple. Don't associate with Urmila, she's a black snake. Someone did that to me once, actually. They really did that. They drew a picture of a black snake climbing up a tree and put it on the temple board. And this is Urmila. So, Hare Krishna. So we've all had this kind of experience. And we're thinking, I better watch out for others' faults. Otherwise, I'll not be taken care of. Of course, another reason we try to find others' faults is so we can think that we're better than they are. And that is also thinking we won't be taken care of. Somehow I won't get what I need. So, how one can be discriminating without being envious or fault-finding is to see that others' faults are really bad, are really good qualities that haven't yet manifested as good or that aren't being properly directed. So we're going to look at this first from an ordinary material level, and then we're going to look at this from a transcendent level. I thought in this regard it would be useful to go to a part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport that Srila Prabhupada is referencing in his own purport. And I'm not going to read all of the Thakur's purport, but he says there's four, and I'm going to ask you this at the end. There's four levels of good people and four levels of bad people based on how much sattva-gun or tamagun the person is influenced by. Okay, good persons. Now we're going to go lower to higher, okay? First is called the Mahat. I'm not going to ask you the Sanskrit terms. First is called the Mahat, who sees others' faults as capable of being transformed into good qualities. This is the lowest level of good. This is the level I'm going to concentrate on. It's the level that we're going to concentrate on, getting some practical hints how to do it. Let's at least be the lowest level of good. Is that okay? Everybody agree? If you already know how to do that, then you can go. Or you can learn this for teaching others as you like. Next level, Mahatara overlooks faults and sees the good. Mahatama magnifies small good qualities and sees no faults. Ati Mahatma sees only good qualities even where there aren't any. Okay. Sees a bad quality as a potential fault, overlooks the fault, sees them but doesn't consider them and sees only the good, doesn't see the faults and magnifies the good qualities and sees only good qualities even if there aren't any. Those are the four levels of good people. Okay. Sees others' faults as capable of being transformed into good qualities. Here's a fault, but it's a potentially good quality. Again, that's what we're going to focus on. Next is overlooks the faults and sees only good. Next level, magnifies small good qualities and sees no faults. Top sees only good qualities where there aren't any. I'll review these again. The bad ones. Now, while we're going over this, maybe each of us could think about where we are. You don't have to tell anybody, but you can just decide at what level you're functioning. Of the bad people.
The bad people.
The worst. Actually, well, we're going to go down. So this is the best. The best of the bad. You see others' good qualities but you see how they're possible faults. You see good qualities as potential faults. Next verse. You overlook the good in others. You know about the good, but you overlook it and you see only faults. Next, you magnify. I'll repeat. Next is you magnify small faults and see no good. And the last, you see only faults even where there aren't any. Again, the best of the bad. You see others' good qualities as potential faults. You see how their good qualities could become faults. Next, you see the good in others, but you overlook it and you just focus on the faults. The next verse, you take small faults, make them bigger, and you don't see any good. And the last, you see only faults, even in a person that doesn't have any. Right. Now we're going to look at examples. These examples are given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay, bottom level of good. Who remembers the bottom level of good? And definition? Sees the bad qualities as potential good qualities. Bad qualities as potential good qualities. An example, speaking harshly is a bad quality, but because it can be for others' benefit, it becomes a good quality, like neem juice, which can cure sickness, even though it is bitter. So you see that someone's speaking harshly, but you think, well, that might be able to help somebody sometimes. Maybe sometimes this harsh speaking can benefit others. And we'll look at many other examples. Okay, the next level. Anybody remember the next level of good? And what is the symptom? Okay, overlooks the faults, that you know the faults, but you overlook them and see the good. And the example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is you see that there's a materialistic merchant, but you notice that he takes care of his guests very nicely. You see he's greedy for profit, but you notice that he also takes very good care of guests. And you think, oh, this person is worthy of being delivered because he's so kind to the guests. Okay, the next level. Anybody remember the next level? Yes, magnifies small good qualities and ignores the bad. This is Mahatma. Example. Now listen to this example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives. This person has stolen my clothes. He's stolen my clothes because he's cold. And even though he has a weapon, he didn't attack me because he's merciful. He stole my clothes, but that's because he's cold. And in stealing my clothes, he didn't hurt me because he's kind, he's merciful. Therefore, he's a virtuous man. You can see how the discrimination is still there. You see, the discrimination is still there. I understand the man is a thief. I may not become his intimate friend, but yet I see him with kindness. I would like to ask at this level, isn't this the way we want others to see us? Is there anyone here who's never done anything wrong? What about in the last week? Anyone who didn't do anything wrong in the last week? Are any of us always treat our best friends perfectly with kindness and consideration? Do we always treat anyone here, always treat their family members with kindness and consideration? Have we done anything that's caused pain to another living entity? In the last week, have we caused pain to any living entity? I'm afraid to ask in the last 24 hours. And how do we want to be seen? Do we sometimes get angry at people we care about? Do we sometimes say we're going to do something and not do it? We forget. Just recently, one devotee saw me in Belgium and gave me a letter. I said, I'm going to Italy to a conference. He said, oh, please give this letter to one of the scholars there. I said, Prabhu, you'll need to send me an email to remind me. I'm sure I'll forget. I completely forgot, and he didn't email me. After I left Italy, I was going through my bag, and I found this letter. I couldn't remember who gave it to me, what it was for, anything, nothing, and I threw it away. Then I saw this devotee again. Now in London, he said, so did you give my letter? I said, I didn't even remember it was from you. He said, oh, that was the one opportunity. Hare Krishna. I'm going to blame Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I want this devotee to see me kindly, right? He said, oh, you told me to send you an email, but I didn't think you were serious. I thought you'd remember. I said, no, Prabhu, I told you I wouldn't remember. I want this devotee to think of me kindly, to think, okay, Urmila threw away my important letter that had to be given to this scholar. It was a one-time opportunity. She said she'd do it. She didn't do it. But she meant to do it. She just forgot. She was busy. She had to give her own seminar. She's trying to print 83 books, so she forgot. I want him to see it as there's some good in me. But do I do that for others? If someone else steals my clothes, do I see the good in them? Or do I just see the bad? Okay, the top level. Ati Mahatama. They see only the good qualities when there are none. And the example is there's only good people in the world. Everyone is good. There's no bad. Now, of course, the only way you can see that is to see that everyone is a soul. That everyone is a soul. That the bad that they're doing, they're not really doing. You know that, right? Fifth chapter, once again, 13th or 15th chapter. But Krishna says, the soul's not really doing anything. We're eating, we're talking. The soul is just a witness. The activities are being done by a material body, an illusion. Something like a person operating a character in a computer game. If the computer game character kills another computer game character, the person operating the character is not accused of murder. Not yet. Maybe it will happen. If I steal your computer game gold, I'm not accused of being a thief. So the top person sees everyone as a soul. Everyone's part of Krishna. Everyone's all good. There's no bad person. Everyone's a diamond. Maybe they're covered with sewage water, but they're a diamond. They're not bad. All right, now the bad persons. We didn't give the Sanskrit, we'll give this now. So the best of the bad persons is the asadhu. Anybody remember the symptoms? Yes, they see the good qualities as potential faults. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's example is that someone who wants to help others will become greedy for their wealth. Yes, I see right now that you're helping others, but as you do that, you'll want to take things from them. You won't be able to maintain your good qualities. Okay, next, asadhutara.
Anybody remember the symptoms?
Don't see good qualities.
Yes, you don't see the good qualities, you only see the faults. You may see the good qualities, but you focus on the faults. An example is this person is very renounced, but they eat a lot. Of course, Ramachandrapuri was a good example of this mentality. Seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's eating so much. So is this person, they've renounced the world, they're just preaching Krishna consciousness, they've given up so many things, but they are a little overweight. So I just focus on that. Oh, they're overweight. And the person will then think, this sannyasi eats ghee rice to fill his stomach, he's lusty, and should be considered fallen. So this mentality, I find there's a whole, we were mentioned this yesterday, I find that there's a whole group of people connected with the Hare Krishna movement who have exactly this mentality. Exactly this mentality. Oh yes, this person, yes, they're renounced, but look at that. Look at that. Look at that bag of money they have in their room. Each disciple's coming in and putting some money in the bag, big bag of money. Look how greedy they are. Okay? They don't consider that none of this money they're using for themselves, Hare Krishna. That they don't consider. They overlook all the good qualities. They don't consider the person is working 12 hours a day for the benefit of others. That they don't consider. And they just see, oh, here's some faults. Okay, next. Asad Uttama magnifies small... Oh, I should ask you. Sorry. Symptom. I already started telling you.
Small faults see like big.
And sees no good at all. So the other, they saw the good, but they just ignore it. Yes, yes, they do this good thing, but look at all this bad thing they're doing. So this, they don't even see the good at all. And they take a very, very small fault and make it big. So the example is, this renunciate, instead of living in the forest, is staying at the house of a grihastha. Probably only wants to steal their money. Again, I hear this kind of thing. There's Renunci staying at the house of a grihastha. He's only interested in their money. Okay, and the lowest is the asud atmana. And the symptom? Only faults, even where there aren't any. This is someone who thinks everyone in the world is evil. Of course, they generally don't think that they're evil. Everyone in the world is evil. So I think it would be nice if we could be at least at the bottom level of good, right? Because as I was saying, this is the doorway between unsteady bhakti. Unsteady bhakti... We could talk about this at length, but it's not a very nice place to be in unsteady bhakti. One of the main questions that people ask me as I travel, I still get to see them. This nice arrangement. Okay. One of the main questions I get, but I don't get to see you. Maybe you could move a little, because then I have to go all the way like this to see you. So one of the main questions I get as I travel is, you know, sometimes I have those moments of happiness or enthusiasm. How can I keep it? Why don't they seem to stay? This is a symptom of unsteady bhakti. We'd love to come above the modes. Mam chayo vyavicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatichaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. To become fixed, brahma bhuta prasanatma. To have joy. Right? We've given up the material so-called joy. the music and the cinemas and the restaurants and the illicit sex and intoxication, gambling. We've given all that up. And we are may not yet be tasting, if we're on the unsteady platform, we're not yet tasting the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness consistently. We get a few little tastes here and there. So difficult platform for a pleasure-seeking soul. So the doorway out of this unsteady bhakti to nishta is humility. And humility involves respecting others. So how to do this? So first I'm going to look at this in terms of Ayurveda. And if I had been a really good teacher, I would have known that I was going to give this morning class, which I didn't know until yesterday, and I would have printed all these to distribute to you. Maybe we could arrange that later. I generally don't like speaking with my laptop in front of me. So, do you all know the three Ayurvedic natures? Anybody know the three Ayurvedic natures? Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Of course, most people are not purely any one of them. Most of us are some combination. For the sake of simplicity, I'm going to act as if there's just these three. Now, these three, I'm sure you know, apply to our physical body, but they also apply to our mental body. So we're going to look at these qualities in the three modes. This is a little hard for me because I have to scroll a little bit. Okay. Let's look at who should we look at first? The Vata, Pitta, or Kapha? Any preference? Vata. Okay, we'll look at Vata first. Sometimes people think that these three qualities are the three modes. They're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. Let's look at first Vata. We're going to look at Vata in tamagun, or in ignorance. And I want you to see how the same qualities, the same qualities, as you go up through the modes, become transformed from a fault to an ornament. The exact same quality. Of course, this is also useful for ourselves. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter and 18th chapter, end of the 18th chapter, one of the last instructions that the Lord gives. And any instruction that's repeated twice and repeated at the end is generally important. If you're a good teacher, and I'm sure that Krishna's a good teacher, that instruction is, you must act according to your nature. You do not have a choice of acting according to someone else's nature. If you try, you will act according to your nature anyway. Your choices are, what did Krishna say your choices are? You must act according to your nature. What are your choices? Act according to your nature for Krishna. Or act according to your nature for Maya, for your false ego. He's translating before I've even said it. You act according to your nature for Krishna, then you'll get all success. Or he says, if you act according to your ahankara, you'll be lost and everything will be finished. He says, you cannot act according to someone else's nature, even if you think you will do it perfectly. And better to be destroyed acting according to your nature. Maya sometimes tricks us into thinking, let me act according to someone else's nature. My nature is bad, someone else's nature is good. Or my nature is good, someone else's nature is bad. It's not true. You have to know one's nature. That will be another class. Not this seminar. at this yatra. I could give briefly, maybe, if we have time. I can go till 9 or 9:15. 9:15. So maybe we'll have time, how to know your nature. That should be clear a little bit from this as I go through. This will help. So the idea is whatever nature we... By the way, if you want another nature, what will you get? What will you get? If you're putting your energy, instead of using your nature for Krishna, if you're putting your energy into trying to imitate someone else's nature, what will you get? Pretense in this life, and what will you get? Another body. Because that's what you're asking for. Is this clear? If you're saying, I want another nature, oh, in this life I'm too quiet, I wish I could be up in the front, then you can get another life and try that. You've all heard of the movie star Julia Roberts? Very famous movie star. So she just made some movie where she goes to India, and it's in all the newspapers that she says, I'm a practicing Hindu. She has the same guru as Krishna Das and Jayutal, this Neem Karoli Baba. Anyway, so it's very funny. She said, in this life, I'm so much out in the front. Next life, I want to be just quiet and supportive in the background. Be careful. If you're thinking, I don't like my nature, I want to try another nature. If I had another nature, it'd be easier for me to be Krishna conscious. The whole reason I'm not Krishna conscious is I have the wrong nature. Then Krishna will oblige you and give you another body with another nature. This is a trick of Maya. Okay, let's now look at Vata in Tamagun. Vata, this is mental nature. A Vata person in Tamagun is fearful, servile, dishonest, secretive, depressed, self-destructive, maybe addicted to intoxicants, prone to sexual perversions, mentally disturbed, and even suicidal. Same person in Vata, if they come to the mode of passion, will become indecisive, unreliable, hyperactive, agitated, restless, disturbed, anxious, overly talkative, superficial, noisily, disruptive, or falsely enthusiastic. Not that somebody would have all those qualities, but some idea. A Vata person in the mode of goodness, energetic, adaptable, flexible, quick to understand, good at communicating, honest, joyful, creative, resourceful, genuine enthusiasm, takes the initiative, inventive, and promotes positive change. Same person, same qualities, exhibited in ignorance, in passion, or in goodness. Let's now look at the Pitta person. In ignorance, proud, hateful, vile, vindictive. That means you want revenge. Violent. Could be a psychopath, a criminal, a drug dealer, or an underworld figure. Obviously, not everybody would be everything. And there are degrees. The Pitta person in passion, aggressive, controlling, critical, dominating, manipulating, angry, wrathful, reckless. You know what reckless is? Reckless, you take foolish risks. You run in front of a car with your eyes closed. Vain means proud. Impatient. You getting all these words? Can you understand? I'm asking you, can you get them?
Taking the necessary risks.
Yes. Vain. impatient, unlimited desires, willful, impulsive, and ambitious. The Pitta person in Sattvagun, intelligent, clear, perceptive, wise, knowledgeable, enlightened, discriminating, promotes goodwill, independent, warm, friendly, courageous, a leader, heroic and determined. I'm going to talk a little bit more in a few minutes about reckless and courage. The kappa person in the mode of ignorance, dull, gross, lethargic. You know what lethargic is? Apathetic, slothful. Have you seen a sloth at the zoo? They're the slowest moving mammal. They move so slowly that their fur never fully dries out. There's mold growing in their fur. Go to the zoo sometime and watch a sloth. Coarse. They're not refined. Slow to understand. Insensitive. They could be a thief. And sleep excessively. A kappa person in the mode of passion. Controlling, attached, greedy, materialistic, sentimental, really needing a lot of security and seeking comfort and luxury. A kappa person in the mode of goodness, calm, peaceful, pure, content, stable, self-controlled, consistent, loyal, service attitude, loving, compassionate, forgiving, patient, devoted, receptive, nurturing, supported, strong faith, and generous. Let's look at a list now from another discipline. This is from, that was from the Vedas. This we're looking at a modern understanding of personality type. And I sometimes give seminars. Did I ever do that in Slovenia, do my personality type seminar? I think so. First time when I came to Slovenia. Yeah. Not on this yatra. Unless, no, I don't. I just wouldn't be able to. I'd have to have all kinds of things to show you. I have to really come prepared to do that. Okay, so there's many different models of looking at what is our nature or what is our personality type. I should just mention that our personality type in this life and in this body is not our eternal personality. Just like this body is not our eternal form. Nor does it indicate our eternal form. I mean, if I'm a woman in this life, I may be a woman in the spiritual world or I may not. There's no relation. And so we're going to look at a system developed by a Dr. Robert Rome, where he divides personality instead of into the three Ayurvedic types into four. And we're going to look again at the qualities, how they can be. He just looks at good and bad. So first we're going to look at the D type of personality. Well, maybe I'll just give you a little summary on this. This will help you also to understand what is your own nature. We'll do that. Okay. I can do that simply. This particular system only looks at two aspects of nature, of one's nature. Other systems look at as much as 50 or 60. And I've had much training in a number of these systems. This is just looking at two. So I'm going to ask you also, this may be helpful for you. If you had to choose, between whether you're more of a people person or a task or job person? Do you prefer being around people, or do you prefer getting something done? Obviously, all of us like getting things done, and all of us like people. But if you had to choose, who would say, I'm more of a people person? Okay? Who would say, I'm more of a task person? Then we're going to look at another two categories. Are you slower paced or faster paced? Are you kind of more slow paced and reserved, or are you more fast paced and outgoing? Do you understand what we mean by that? Are you more slow paced and reserved, and you want to take your time and get things right, or do you want to fast paced, more excitement, more outgoing? So again, we all have both of these qualities, but if you had to choose between the two, who would say that they're more slower paced and reserved? And who would say they're more fast paced and outgoing? Okay, so now everyone has two things, which gives you four types. One type is fast paced and task oriented. Another type is fast-paced and people-oriented. Another is reserved or slow-paced and task-oriented. And another is reserved or slower-paced and people-oriented. Is that clear? So there's four types. So each of you, by raising your hand, should have put yourself in one of those four types. Is this clear? Does everybody follow this? Okay? We've had the fast-paced task, fast-paced person, slower-paced task, slower-paced person. Four main types of personalities. All of us are a mix. Everybody is a mix. But there's usually one type that is dominant. We're going to look first at the fast-paced task person. By the way, these people, this is the smallest group in the population. It's only about 10% of the population. Thank God. Fast-paced task person. Qualities, we're going to look at each quality used badly and used well. Now again, the purpose of this is that when we see a bad quality in others, we can think, how could they use this quality well? How is this bad behavior a potential good quality? What I tend to do is, whatever type of person I am, I will see other people who are different in terms of their faults. Keep that in mind. So the fast-paced task person, used badly, they are reckless. Used well, they are courageous. I'm going to look at this one thing. What is the difference between being reckless and being courageous? Huh? Intelligence? Discrimination? What are you discriminating exactly? Try to be more specific. What's the difference between being reckless and being courageous? Old buddy. Come on. Yes, the goal. If I'm on the battlefield, my buddy is injured, and I run in front of the guns to save my buddy, that's courageous. If I say to you, let's race our cars down the highway, that's reckless. But it's the same quality. Do you see that it's the same quality? This person is a risk taker. They enjoy, they get pleasure. Your nature is what gives you pleasure. They get pleasure from taking a risk. They enjoy. That's their taste, Like some people like chili. Some people like gulab jamuns. The taste of the task-oriented, fast-paced person, they like risk. And the difference between whether it's a good quality or a bad quality is why are they taking the risk? What is their goal? Okay, next. Bad quality, rude. Good quality, very quick to respond without hesitation. Bad quality, impatient. Same quality for the good, goal-oriented. Bad quality, pushy. Good quality, again, results-oriented. Bad quality, a dictator. Good quality, very deliberate. Bad quality, conceited. Good quality, confident. Bad quality, offensive. Good quality, direct and truthful. Bad quality, arrogant. Good quality, self-reliant. Bad quality, abrasive. Good quality, straightforward. Bad quality, ruthless. Good quality, competitive. I'd like you to think of two things in relationship to this personality type. What prominent devotee we know who had this personality type, and what country in the world considers this personality type to be the ideal. Okay, now we're going to go, I'm going to think of this for each of these. That way I'll test if you understand what I'm teaching, which tests whether or not I'm a good teacher.
This second part, I really didn't get 90% of it.
Second part, right there, that little one.
No, no, this is the big one, the long list
now. Oh, no.
I got something, but I don't tell you. Maybe we can go again.
Well, that's why I said it'd be nice if I could pass it out. I will try. I'm going very slowly.
Yeah. Just some words I need to think about.
To think about. All right, I'll do my very best. Okay, I'll try to go more slowly.
Which personality type is this?
That was the fast-paced task.
Yes, that was okay. I appreciate it.
That was all we were doing. Only. That was the only one.
But there are more qualities than
okay. That was only fast-paced task person. All those qualities were only for the fast-paced task
person.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get the time and I have to speak slowly and I don't know which to do. I could get the time. If I speak at my normal rate, that would be no problem at all, but then nobody would, any of you would understand a word I was saying except for somebody from New Jersey. Okay. So, somebody understood it because you laughed. All right. Got something there. It was a compliment, Maharaj. I'm from the same part of the world, you know, and it's the best place on earth. Are you kidding? New York and New Jersey, we're the best. Come on. These Slovenians, I mean, yeah. Maybe next birth they'll get to be taken New York or New Jersey. I'm sorry, I was just joking, really. Maybe it's the other way around. Next birth we'll get to be in Slovenia, huh? As we're planning. Okay, next is the fast-paced people person. Fast-paced people. All of these we're going to talk about now are the fast-paced people. A quality used badly, a quality used well. Unrealistic. Optimistic. Manipulative. Persuasive. I'm going to do piece. That way I'm sure you're going to get it. Emotional. Excited. A gossip. Someone who's very good at communicating. Impulsive. Spontaneous. Unfocused. Outgoing. Excitable, fervent, directionless, involved, a daydreamer, imaginative, No goals and purpose. Very warm and friendly. Same qualities, whether you're manifesting in the lower modes or the higher modes. Again, I'd like you to think of some advanced devotees who have this personality type. And in what country in the world this type is considered the best? Now we're going to look at the reserved, people-oriented type. They don't have any initiative. They're very relaxed. They're dependent on others. They are very reliable. They can easily be cheated. Cooperative. Don't want to make decisions to do something new. Very stable. Don't communicate much. A very good listener. Not flexible. Single-minded. They have their, they stick to something. They resist change. They're steadfast. They're easily manipulated. They're soft-hearted. Slow. Systematic. Resentful. And amiable. Same qualities, depending on how it's used. Finally, we'll look at the reserved, task-oriented person.
Do you have percentage of population?
Oh, percentage of population? Most people are reserved. The majority of the population is slow-paced and reserved. 10% is fast-paced and task-oriented, 25% are fast-paced and people-oriented, and I don't remember how it breaks down for the other two, but the reserved people-oriented are in greater number than the reserved task-oriented. Reserved people-oriented are the largest group. Reserved task-oriented. Compulsive. Or orderly, critical, or logical, unsociable, or intense, nosy, no, nosy is? You're always putting your nose into other people's business. Good quality is curious. Easily offended, teachable, fearful, cautious, careful. Now I want you to look at this one, fearful and careful. Same quality, used badly or used well. If you see a very fearful person, this person has the potential to be a careful, cautious person. Inflexible. Correct. Doubtful. Questioning. Worry a lot. They worry a lot. A lot of anxiety. Conscientious. You know conscientious is? Very picky and particular. Picky, particular. Piccolo. Very precise. Again, I want you to think of very wonderful devotees who have this quality and what part of the world. So let's look at just parts of the world. In what parts of the world do they consider that if you're a reserved, task-oriented person, that's the best kind of person? No, not India. Huh? England? Where else? Germany. Definitely. Switzerland, for sure. In which parts of the world do they think the ideal person is reserved and people-oriented? India, definitely India. Definitely India. In what parts of the world do they think the best person is outgoing and people-oriented? Italy, for sure. Spain. Brazil. And where do they think the best people are outgoing, task-oriented? America, the aggressive capital of the world. What? You're born in the wrong country. Allah. Actually, the... We could get into more of that, but I don't want to go any further into that. So this gives you some idea how you can look at yourself and how you can look at others to see the faults as possible good qualities. How to see faults as potential good qualities. Every fault is a potential good quality. And the last way, the transcendent way, that's a material way in which every fault is a potential good quality. And I asked you to think of devotees in each of those areas. You can see there's wonderful devotees who are outgoing and task-oriented. There's wonderful devotees that are outgoing and people-oriented. The devotees who are outgoing and task-oriented, they're generally leaders. They're getting 100 things done at one time. Right? They're taking great risks for Krishna. Those who are outgoing and people-oriented, they're on stage in front of 100,000 people, they're organizing big festivals, they're running all over the world, a different place every 2 hours. Those who are reserved and people-oriented, they're usually starting some sort of counseling or care initiative. They're interested in building community. They're interested in teamwork. Those who are reserved and task-oriented, they're often the scholars or the accountants, the pujaris who've stayed in one temple for 30 or 40 years. So we see that there are advanced devotees in each of those categories. You can become a pure devotee in your own nature. It's not that the person who's the pujari in the same place for 40 years has to go on a festival tour in order to become a pure devotee. Or has to try to be managing 40 countries. Or be out there in the devotee care initiative. No? We each work according to our nature. The other level in which all faults are actually good qualities is what George Harrison said in the beginning of Krishna book. Everyone is always looking for Krishna. The reason we're looking for Krishna is we want love. This is a whole science which I don't have time to teach now, as my time is up. But it is possible to see everything everyone's doing as either a properly directed or a misdirected search for Krishna. Just like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, the person stole my clothes because they want to be warm. They want to be warm. Krishna says, I am the heating fire. Everyone, everything that everyone is doing, everything that everyone is being, is a way of trying to find Krishna. Although they may be doing it in the wrong way, but what they're looking for is Krishna. And you can see that everyone is looking for Krishna. Therefore, all you have to do is take that urge and direct it in the right way. You don't change the urge, but you redirect it. So my time is long over. Hopefully I will still be invited back to Slovenia after going over time. He's considering it, maybe, you know. I don't know, do I have time for questions? Maras wants to ask a question, but I'm afraid since I'm already over time.
It'll be a quick answer.
I'll try. Yes. Correct. Correct. Yes. All bad qualities are misused good qualities. Correct. In fact, in one level, there is no such thing as a bad quality. It doesn't actually exist, which is why the highest level of the four types, one reason why, doesn't see any bad qualities. There is no such thing as a bad quality. It doesn't exist. Bad quality means a good quality you're using in the wrong way. Like this is meant for holding liquid. It's not meant for hitting you on the head. If I take this and I hit you on the head with it, the fault is not this. The fault is how I'm using it. What I'm doing with it. Itself. This is a good thing. Correct? Everything's good. It depends how one is using it. So this is true for ourselves in dealing with ourselves and in dealing with others. So I hope this was helpful. This was helpful. And let's just go quick review. Okay, good persons. Good is? Bottom level good is? I don't care about this. It's going to be the symptoms. Bad qualities, potential good. Next. Next. Magnifies small good. Next. She's only good. Bad person. Good is potential bad. Next. Good and magnifies the bad. Next. Okay. Doesn't see the good, just focuses on the fault. And last is, sees only fault even where there's good. So let's at least try today, in the next hour, at least for the next hour, to see others' faults as potential good. And then if you can do it for an hour, then try doing it for a day. If you can do it for a day, try doing it for the whole time of the yatra. If you can do it for the whole time of the yatra, try doing it for a month. If you can do it for a month, try doing it for 3 months. Then you can take a vow. Krishna, I will see everyone's fault as potential good qualities. And start changing that way of thinking. And when that's solid, then try to progress so that we become actually a good person. And as Srila Prabhupada said, our own good qualities are measured by how much we see the good in others. Our own good qualities are measured. In the spiritual world, everyone is appreciating everyone else. So if we want to go there, like I'm trying to go to Russia, you know, they don't want anybody to have a visa to go to Russia. But somehow they don't want to share their country with anybody else. So to get a visa to go to Russia, you have to go to the embassy in person. You have to have a letter of invitation. You have to prove that you live in Slovenia. You have to tell them, why are you coming into our country? If you want to enter into the spiritual world, you also need a visa. And that is one of the aspects of that visa is, do you see the good in others? Do you appreciate others? Thank you very much. Did you have something else you wanted to say? Oh, how you should see yourself. You should also see your faults as how can I purify this fault and use it in Krishna's service. Do not try to take on the good qualities of another nature. You can't do it. If you are a risk-taking person, you cannot become, in this life, a cautious person. Forget it. Take risks for Krishna intelligently. If you are a cautious person, you will not become, in this life, a risk-taking person. Forget it. Learn how to be cautious and careful for Krishna and situate yourself accordingly. If you're a risk-taking person, do not manage the money. Go preach in Albania. Okay, if you're a risk-taking person, preach in Albania, but don't manage the money. Okay, if you're a very, very cautious person, you probably shouldn't start a temple in Albania. And you can manage the money. So situate yourself, understand your nature, situate yourself according to your nature. If you have to have something done that's not your nature, ask someone who has that nature to help you. That's why there's teamwork. That's why there's a society. No one person can do everything except for Krishna. Krishna has four personality types: Dhirodatta, Dhirodatta, Dhiralalita, and Dhiraprasanta. And they contradict each other, and they all stay in the same person. That is not true for any of us. So see what you're good at. Do that, at least in the mode of goodness. Do that for Krishna. Don't try to imitate someone else's service. Know your areas of weakness. Get other people to do those things. Or get other people to check you with those things or to help you with those things. And don't envy anyone else's nature or criticize anyone else's nature, or then you just take body after body to try out all different kinds of natures. Is that okay? Then you'll be happy. We should put our energy into using what I have in this life, whatever it is, using what I have in this life in Krishna's service, not envying what somebody else has. If I envy what somebody else has, then I can get a chance to try that out another life. That's not really a good idea. And then you'll find that what everyone else has its areas of strength and its areas of challenge. There's no situation in this life that's going to be perfectly, in this material world, that's perfectly suited for spiritual life. Even if you're born a male brahmana in India, you know, there's some problem. Don't bother with this. Okay? Now you're all going to be sitting here thinking, nice class, but what about prasadam? Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.